Matthew chapter 12, verse 46. And while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Who is your mother? It seems like this holiday is celebrated perhaps even more than Father's Day, because there are some fathers who haven't stepped up to where they should be, but the mothers seem to be always there. And it's so easy to identify the mother. And it's true, there are churches everywhere which represents the mother, but so many don't even know who their father is. His name is Jesus. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word this morning. God, we're grateful for what we're experiencing. We're grateful for the ladies and their retreat. And God, that it would continue to cause us to dig deeper and become wells rather than pools of water. We ask your blessing. It's in Jesus' name. You may be seated. I'd also like you to turn to Exodus, the second chapter. Starting in verse number 1, Exodus chapter 2, verse number 1. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dubbed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maiden to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother, and Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. The name Moses means coming out of the water. We all know the story of how Moses was slated to be executed with all the other baby boys thrown into the Nile River and drowned or eaten by crocodiles. But here Moses was spared and watched over. A tribute to a mother. For many years, I was seeing a psychiatrist on a weekly basis. His name was Dr. Tomkiewicz. We used to play tennis once a week, and I really feel over the years I've tried to help him, you know. We began playing tennis, and during the time that we had, we would have discussions about what's wrong with society and what could help society emotionally. And of course, we were at two different ends of the spectrum. He always felt like, well, we really need to dig up the past to find out what created the problem, and I'm all about covering up the past and having a new beginning. And so we always differed. And of course, there are still people who really think that if they could blame somebody in the past for their problems, well, then their future would be better, and that's not the way God has ordained. And a good mother helps society take responsibility for their lives. America won't turn around and be moral because we elect the right leader. I find there are so many people today who are looking for a savior in a president or a leader in the country, and it's not about the leadership. It's not about a president who's going to take care of your problems. It's a matter of turning your life over to God. It begins with the handle that rocks, the hand that rocks the cradle. Motherhood is one of the highest callings on earth. I didn't hear any amens at all. Glory to God. Too many women feel that they should apologize for being a mother and a housewife, and that is so wrong because it's the highest calling on the face of the earth. It's above any other position that you could ever have. Listen, God's first commandment to mankind was in Genesis 1 and 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Without women, without mothers, this earth would not continue. If there was ever a time that this nation needs motherhood, it's today. Mothers who will stand up, mothers who will instill moral fibers in their children, the one person who will always be there no matter what, it's going to be the mother to help heal, to help hurt, always encourage, instruct, comfort, challenge, and love. Everybody else can leave. Everybody else cannot feel like you have any worth, but the mother is the one who says, I'm going to be with you. In absence of a good mother, young people, well, they find some substitutes. They find gangs. They find sports. Throw themselves into sports and perhaps a coach that will give them instructions or friends who will commit to them with not always the right values, because they desperately need a mother's influence in their life. There's something in us that needs a mother's love. Remember Jochebed? Not many do. She was the mother of Moses. She preserved the life of the one who delivered God's people from bondage. And the real value of a mother is to deliver their children from the bondage of this world, from sin. Who wrote the first five books of the Bible, including the creation story. Without Moses, it wouldn't be there. She went against society in order to save her son. And she did it quietly in the background of Moses' life. And so many mothers are doing this incredible job quietly in the background. They don't get any accolades. They don't get any hurrahs. You did it again, Mom. It's generally, why can't I? Mom's saying, because. You know, I don't owe you an answer because I've gone through life and this is the thing that's going to save you and protect you and to keep you. And Mom, sometimes stand in the gap from all of the problems that children could have. She was, this Jochebed was told to throw her son into the Nile River, and many of them were eaten by crocodiles to appease the god of the Nile. How many are thrown away today? How many abortions? I just heard this week there's this special box at fire stations that you can put your newborn baby in, and immediately it sends out a signal to rescue people, and they're there in minutes in order to protect the baby. But you know what? Society shouldn't have a box someplace that you can put your baby. You shouldn't have another alternative. The Nile is symbolic of the world's philosophy, and the crocodiles are a symbol of the sin in the world today. And Jochebed hid Moses for 3 months. There is a critical time of sheltering our children. During that first 8 years, our children develop all of their personality, their values, their self-esteem, their respect, the authority, the love of God. They're all instilled. As we saw this morning on the screen, these young kids are worshiping God, and there's something that is significant that is put in them that will be with them for the rest of their life. It's imperative. Thank God for Sunday school. Thank God for Children's Church. Thank God for Power Hour that is as instilled. I talked to a mom just last week, and her daughter, I think, is about 7 years old. They asked, well, what would be the first three things that you would want for your birthday? And she said, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost. Because she's had a taste of the goodness of God. She sees the value that many adults don't even see. Well, yeah, maybe I'll come to church. Yeah, well, you don't understand. This is life and death, folks. This is where the rubber meets the road. Jochebed built a basket to save her son. The Bible calls it an ark, and she took it to the river. Hebrews 11:7 says, Noah built an ark to the saving of his family. Jochebed built an ark to save her son. Are we building an ark for our children? To protect them from what they see and what they hear and what their impressionable minds are exposed to? Are we building a place of safety for our children, to keep them from the crocodiles of this world, crocodiles of drugs and secular humanism and immorality and alcohol and violence? They're exposed to it all of the time. And somebody's going to say, they have to, a mother has to say, no, that's not the route we're going. We can't keep them from being in the world, but we can keep the world from being in them. And that's the main job, through teaching at home and being an example and being faithful to church and reading the Word of God. They need to see parents praying and being faithful. There will be a time in parents' lives when you must release your child to God. Somebody said it this morning, you know, you can't be with them all of the time. It's amazing. Up until the time they're about 8 years old, they want to be with you all of the time. And then there's a switch that flips, and then all of a sudden, really, do I have to go with you now? And you get to the point where you can't be with them, but you have to instill something that will be with them and understand that God loves them more than you do when you no longer can hide them. Proverbs 22:6, train him up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I believe it with all of my life. It's a promise that God has given us, but we need to be the ones who are training. An overprotective mother was concerned about her only son going off to college, and so she wrote the college president a letter trying to get him to somehow protect her only son. It said, I am writing to ask you to give your personal attention to the selection of my son's roommate. I want to make sure that he is the kind of person who doesn't use foul language or tell off-color jokes or smokes or drinks or chases after girls. I hope you will understand why I'm appealing to you directly. You see, this is the first time my son will be away from home except for the 3 years that he spent in the Marine Corps. A mother is always looking out for her child. If Jochebed had not released her son to God, 2 million Jews might never have been delivered from Egypt. God wants to save our children out of the water, out of the danger and the stench of the muddy Nile River, pull them out of this world and all of the things that they're exposed to, that our children could be delivered for those that are around us, and then they become the deliverer like Moses became the deliverer. How many children at this stage of their lives are being groomed in order to save somebody else at their school, on the job, wherever? The first step is to put them in the ark. This is the ark. The first step is to get them in the church. But let me tell you that the world doesn't like it when our children talk about God, when our children come to Sunday school, when our children want to go to choir practice, when our children want to do something up here on the platform. They're thinking that there's something wrong with you. There are other things to do. You know what? There's soccer to play and baseball and all of these things, and there's nothing wrong with that, but there has to be a priority. I'm sorry, honey. We have church on Wednesdays and Sundays. When I was a boy, there was never, ever a baseball game on a Wednesday night. We never had any kind of activities on a Sunday. And the world is saying, no, give me your kids. Come on, I want them. And they're taking them. Now let's bring the spiritual application. God likens the church as a mother of all of children. The Bible says we're saved by childbearing. That's what it says. And we as the church have a responsibility to protect and nurture and teach those who would be Christians. When somebody is born again of the water and the Spirit, we don't put them in a box someplace, let somebody else take care of them. No, we have a responsibility to our children, and that's why we put so much emphasis on junior camp and senior camp and family camp and all of the other things that we do and the youth room that we're building downstairs. It's going to be awesome because our children are awesome and they deserve all of what we can do for them in order to keep them. Not based on our preference, but based on the word of the Father, and the Father is Jesus. So it's not, you know what, wait until your father gets home. You know? No, Mom, you have the same authority that the Father has. You know, you have been given instructions. Turn with me to Proverbs, the first chapter. Proverbs 1 and verse number 8, it says, my son, hear the instructions of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. So you know what? That gives you authority, ladies, to say something. You know, that's what gives me the authority. Well, where did you find that in the scripture? Listen, I'm just trying to protect you. Now, the world will disagree with how we conduct our lives, but we won't be judged by the world. We'll be judged by the Word of God. You see, God has a lot to say about the birth process in the church, and it all starts with a proper mother or a proper church. Now, if the mother has no idea what's right, the children will have no idea. Please, don't ever say, well, you know what, when they get older, they can make their own decision. Based on what? You know, we make decisions based on information. If you don't have all of the information that is in the book, how are you going to make a decision? A proper church that still hears the instructions of the father is the one who can relate to the mother and then the mother to the children. The spiritual birth process is the same as that in the natural. We talked a little bit about that a couple of weeks ago. There is a conception because of an attraction. You know, if you have absolutely no attraction to God, there's never going to be an opportunity for a conception. The development of the fetus, becoming uncomfortable, labor pains, breaking of the water, and then the cry of the child, and then without a willing mother, this process just doesn't happen. And what God is saying is, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the church. But he is looking for willing mothers who will conceive and have their own babies. Now, we could have a whole lot of people standing up this morning who have had their own spiritual baby. And you're still responsible for those people who were baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost years ago. Because you know what? We are our brother's keeper. Amen. The spiritual application. 1 Peter 3 and 7 says, ye husbands, dwell with them according to the knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Now, I could never understand totally. He says, as unto the weaker vessel, not that the woman is the weaker vessel, because that's just not true. Ladies, if you were the weaker vessel, then why is it that most women outlive their husbands by about 10 years? If we had to give birth, I mean, that is men, they'd have to put us under general anesthetic from the third month on in order to get through it. You know, I changed a diaper once. I remember I had rubber gloves up to here, a gas mask on, you know. It just not, take me to the army, I'd rather. Thank God for good mothers, or the church would not be in existence today. Taking on the responsibility. Church, we take on a responsibility because we're the mother. We don't just show up. They tell us that the womb is the most dangerous place on earth, and that is also true in the church. Every time someone hears this born-again message, Satan wants to persuade them to abort. And so the womb of the church is probably the most dangerous place on the face of the earth. As soon as they hear the message, as soon as they have the experience, there is always some radical individual out there who tells them, no, you're not born again. No, you don't have to do this. Someone who wants to extricate you from the womb of the church, take you out of the ark and put you in the water. But the church can't let that happen. This new birth must be protected against all odds. Plenty of good spiritual food. Are you eating right? Are you getting the proper rest in the Holy Ghost? Helped in the last trimester. You know, we should be running faster now than we were when we first came into the church, helping breaking the waters of baptism, listening for the cry of that baby. Hallelujah. We're here in order to nurture. We're here in order to help. We're here to lay hands on those that are in trouble. We're banding together. We're a threefold cord that can't easily be broken. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Portman preached most of this message in the opening. Brother Coffey approached me before service and used almost all of the scripture that I'm using. What God is saying is, you know what? We all minister to one another in the body of Christ. Would you turn to John, the third chapter? Verse number one, familiar scripture to most of you. I'm glad that we can keep preaching it, though. John 3 and 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. In other words, he was first in rank in the religion of that day. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. How did you know? For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with them. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. They shall speak in new tongues. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How come you don't see the things that I see? Well, you haven't been born of the water and the Spirit. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. In other words, I heard the wind yesterday. It was very, very strong, but I didn't see the wind. I saw the effects of the wind. You don't see God's Spirit in here, but you see the effects of God's Spirit in here all of the time. And that word sound here, if you go to the original Greek, there's only one word that it should have been translated to, and that's language. So it says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the language thereof, but canst not tell whence it comes or whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. There's going to be a language connected with being born of the Spirit. And everyone's going to have the same experience. Amen. Listen, I love my mom. She was the greatest influence in my entire life, and I wouldn't be the person I am today without her, and most of us could say the same thing. Each of us have a day that we hold very special, and it's our birthday. We saw some up on the screen. But God tells us that we have to have two birthdays, not just one birthday, one for our natural birth and one for our spiritual birth. I wasn't there when my mother was born, but I am so very glad I was there on January 17th, 1995, when she was baptized in Jesus' name. It was the greatest privilege that I've ever had in order to see my mother born of the water. And this church has been the mother of hundreds, perhaps even thousands of new births, new souls. Oh, the world doesn't like how we raise our kids. You know, they think we're too restrictive, or we don't give them opportunities in order to make their own decision, but they never will like the way we do business or the way we raise our kids. Jochebed didn't care about Egypt. You know, just take your hands off my son. I'm going to save my son. And I'd like to answer Nicodemus' question in John 3 and 4. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And the answer is yes. Only this mother, only the church. You see, you have to enter into the church, the mother's womb. This is the mother's womb. Here is where we have the spiritual births. We enter into our mother's womb, the church, when we are born again and we have our new birthday. We see new babies on the screen all of the time. Last week we had a baby dedication, and we saw lots and lots of pictures, but we see spiritual births and we see natural births, and we get excited about it. Dates are written down, you know, when they were born, because mom is doing the job that God has decreed that we should do. The first commandment to the woman was, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, fill the earth. It's true of the church. The responsibility is be fruitful, multiply. Amen. Dig the wells. Get excited about the Father, and there will be children in the house. There is pain in the process, but joy comes in the morning. There's a responsibility. And I'm grateful for mothers who will take on the responsibility. And the fact of the matter is, you may not want to hear this. I don't care how old your kids are. You still have a responsibility to those kids. I hear all the time, well, now that they're 18, I'm sorry. You're still your mother's child. You still need to listen to your mother and your father because it's important. Now, I don't care if you've been in the church for 40 years. You know what? You still need to hear the preaching of God's word to stay on the right path. Jesus said, "Who is my mother? Those who shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my mother." So every one of us this morning are a mother according to Jesus. You know, your mother wants you. Well, who is my mother? This whole world wants Jesus to take care of all of their problems. But who really is the mother, the one who is in the womb of the church? It's each and every one of us who will stay faithful to the Father.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Would you stand with me, please? Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
My wife was president of Wisconsin Ladies for many, many years, and most every time that we had our anniversary, she was away from me someplace. And on Wednesday, we will have our 48th wedding anniversary. She has put up with me for all of these years. I was 6 years old. She was 4 when we got married. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. And I don't know how many anniversaries of my second birth I'll have. I'm having my 20th anniversary of my 50th birthday this year. Amen. And I don't know how many anniversaries I'm going to have of being filled with His Spirit and born of the water. But you know what? I think I can have that birthday for eternity, over and over and over again. Because you know what? Even though my natural mother is gone, I still have a responsibility to my spiritual mother. I still need to come home. You're going to come home for dinner? Yeah, I'll be there, Mom. Will you be? Are you going to listen? You know what your father said. Okay, Mom, I will. Hallelujah. You'll never get too old to hear those words, because those are the words that'll keep you in the church. Those are the words that'll keep you safe. Those are the words. Hallelujah. Well, we're living in America. I can do whatever you want. You're right. But you know what? There's always consequences of not listening to the mother and listening to the father. Obey them that have the rule over you. Honor your mother and father that it would go well with thee and thou mayest live a long life. You know, Ephesians 6 and 1. Hey, if we do it that way, God's saying, okay, I have a responsibility to see my kids grow up and have everything that they need. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. The altar's open. Would you come?